we take a break, tell us a little bit more, because you didn't talk too much about it, but just briefly, like how you got into the world of tech, your youthful hacking, and then how you got into social media briefly.
Okay, so the way I got into technology was a total fluke. MySpace actually had something to do with it. I was a musician, and I wanted my MySpace page to look cool, so I learned how to code so that I could, I mean, a lot of people who work in music are like, MySpace taught me how to code too. And then I went on to become a journalist, and what would happen was when I would interview bands like the Smashing Pumpkins or Placebo, they would see my MySpace page and go, wait, why is yours cooler than ours? And they started hiring me. And so then I developed a social media consultancy, and then I got hired by Hot Topic corporate headquarters to work on their social, and then I got recruited by Disney Music Group, and then on and on. But really it was just, oh, I also worked at a bunch of startups that I won't talk about. You leave the bad stuff off your resume. But it was just curiosity and hacking, really.
But like for all of us, it all started with MySpace.
Yes, totally.
What do you think are the three best things about social media?
The three best things.
Just off the top of your head.
I love the wonderful things that happen. Like that Alicia Keys thing I mentioned, or I once got an at reply from Anthony Bourdain and was like, oh my gosh, you know.
Was it a recipe? Or?
No, it was just I said I was at a restaurant he'd been to, and he's like, they're all packing heat. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I need to leave. I love those crazy moments. I love the fact that we can help people in a much greater way. And spread awareness of causes like we've never done before. I think that's amazing. And lastly, you know, I do think it's an amazing tool for artists. I do think it has facilitated so much revolutionary improvement in the world of music in particular. I'm not super hung up on the revenue side of things because I think we need to shift our focus on revenue coming from other channels. And that was predicted by people like David Bowie 12 years ago. We can create in so many different ways and get that, like you can record an album and literally put it up the same day and have people listening to it. That blows my mind. That is amazing. That was not the case when I was starting out.
No, that is, I remember recording on 4 tracks like in the 90s. Anyone?
Your giant reels and stuff.
No, all right.
We're old.
Some of the worst things.
The worst things are the ability to be mean to people without responsibility.
It's kind of like driving in your car in L.A. Like, people get way more mean.
Yes.
They just feel like there's no accountability.
Especially on the west side.
No, I mean, I have a friend.
I thought everybody on the west side was a saint.
No. I'm a born and raised east sider, so I'm sorry. I'm totally partial. You know, my friend is the new Bachelor guy, Juan Pablo, and he made some comment that got misunderstood, and so all these people started him attacking on social and saying, you're homophobic, and you're this and that, and I know that's not how he is. But I felt pain seeing how people were treating him, people who didn't know him, who had, like Louis C.K. did this whole bit about how kids don't have that sense of conviction anymore. Like, they can say mean things on the internet and not have to deal with the repercussions of that. So that's one of the things I don't like about it. Secondly, I don't like how it's... help the porn industry, you know, like...
To put it lightly.
Like, my little nephew got in trouble by his mom for, like, searching naked ladies when he's, like, you know, not even in junior high. We didn't really have it available. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't looking.
The amount of access.
Yeah, the amount of access. That concerns me. And I think it's... And lastly, on that end, I think that the speed with which things happen has led us to think it's normal. We see kids growing up way quicker than they are. We put this pressure on ourselves to be more successful than we are. We get the fear of messing out constantly. I was saying this earlier because, like, oh, so-and-so just bought a house, and so-and-so just got engaged, and so-and-so just got accepted to Yale, and I'm still working at, you know, Tender Greens in Hollywood, you know? And so...
Does anyone work at Tender Greens?
I love it, and I go there every day for lunch. But, you know, that idea of paying dues... We don't see it, and the reality is there have been studies that show is people don't put their hard times on there. You know, when I was going through a lot of horrible stuff the past 2 years, I wasn't posting, like, had a great day at work but super sad because my mom is gone. Like, I wasn't doing that. So we assume that people have no pain. You know, and I love that quote that's sort of a meme that says, be kind to everyone because you don't know what their struggle may be. It's so true. Like, we assume that our fellow man has no struggles. and we assume that they are all better than us, and we assume that we are not good enough, and the internet has facilitated that.
So you talked about digital detox. I'm a fan. Has anybody actually done like a detox? I'm not talking about like while you sleep, but like for more than like maybe a couple days or a week. Yes. It's glorious. What's the longest that you've gone without using, let's just say like a phone or a
tablet? It was 2 weeks. I went, but it's not noble. I went on a trip to New Zealand and there was only dial up and I was like, oh.
Does that say, just sheep and dial up?
I would rather drive a Pinto and have Wi-Fi than have a Mercedes and dial up. And so you can quote that and tweet that. But it was like painful for me. But then I was like, oh, wow, I'm in one of the most beautiful countries in the world and I can go visit Hobbit Land, you know. This is awesome. So, yeah, but I'm not like the patron saint of digital detoxes. I just do it on little bases.
What do you think are some of the biggest positive opportunities ahead? I mean, like, I'm a pastor, so I'm always thinking about how can the gospel get out there? How can I tell people about Jesus? Like, that's a new space. It's a new space that's a part of life, which I'll talk about in a minute. But what are some of the biggest positive opportunities you see, like, in the coming years as things are developing more?
I see amongst millennials in particular a real desire to get into the space of entrepreneurship for good, which is really promising to me. You know, things like Tom's and, you know, Warby Parker and other companies like that, or Charity Water. I'm seeing a lot of those companies be started by very young people. There's a fantastic article on a website called firstround.com. I pulled it up because I wanted to mention it to you guys because I found it really, really helpful. It's called, there's a 0.0006 chance of building a billion-dollar company, how this man did it. And it's about a man named David Friedberg, who is a Google engineer, who decided to leave his job and get into the world of technology for good. And he developed a technology that provides insurance to farmers in the Midwest and in the South, so that if it rains or if there's storms, they will still get paid because they've paid into this insurance, so they don't lose their revenue. And he's become a champion of the idea of, like, hey, if you can code, don't just go to the next photo sharing site and try to make a quick million. Maybe band together with some other engineers and try to fix a problem that we have in this world that you could change the lives of millions of people. So that, I think, is the biggest opportunity and super exciting.
What are some of the challenges you see with the way things are unfolding? I mean, there's obvious, like, narcissism and all that stuff, but just kind of, I'm thinking about my kids, you know, like 9, 7, they're growing up in this world, like, they have iPads in their classroom, like, that whole thing. Like, what would you say are some of the challenges you see coming up?
I worry that we're raising a generation with ADHD because no one knows how to be present. Like, when I worked at Twitter, one of the big phrases we always used was the second screen experience, right? We want people using Twitter while they're watching television. Isn't that weird? Like, we don't want people just watching one thing. We want them to be watching multiple things. And often you're not just using your phone. You also have your laptop right next to you because there's something else you need to do. Not to mention the health implications of the EMFs and everything, which I'm a big old hippie and don't get me started, but I worry that because we're constantly like this, we don't know how to just stop. We don't know how to be present, and that's going to become far more difficult, as well as the thing about just we're growing up too quickly. You know, I saw it with the Disney kids that I worked with, and granted, they make a lot more money, but, you know, by 14 or 16, they already think they're old. They already think they're washed up. Some of them are drinking and using already. And you can get things so easily, like drugs. You know, there's an article I posted on Facebook this week about how the rise of heroin in the U.S. is being directly related to our over-prescribing antidepressants and ADHD drugs. And a friend of mine who lives in Alaska said, yeah, I asked a senior at my daughter's school, like, is everyone really doing heroin? And the little girl said, no, not everyone, just half. Half of a high school is on heroin, and the majority for them, the gateway is using the internet to get prescription drugs and then go from there. So that's a big concern to me.
That's why I ban my children from all digital devices.
Yes.
what do you think? What do you think is the future of? And I'm sure everyone's kind of noticed it, especially like you said, when something happens in the news, you look at Twitter, and everybody speculated like, what would 9/11 have been like if YouTube was around back then? What do you think the future of news and all that is, because now nobody's like spending time actually reading like an article. It's like, oh my gosh, something happened, to retweet, like, okay, I'm done, I moved on. Like, what do you think the future of like news and all that is going to be?
I have really good friends on the news team at Twitter that are like helping shape that world, and it's bananas. On one hand, I worry about people trusting the wrong information. Like, how many Fukushima articles have you seen in the last month that are telling everyone to avoid fish and, you know, California, and then there's all your friends saying, no, I went on Snopes, it's totally cool. You know, we don't have the ability sometimes to fact check the way we used to. On the other hand, I do think it's amazing that we can get alerted in an immediate way if there has been an earthquake in Turkey, and people are using social media to get rescued. And I think that's tremendously beneficial, and ultimately I would wager that I think the benefits will outweigh the negatives. That's what I would say off the top of my head. We'll be oversaturated.
Right, they just got to figure out a way.
But you're going to have to become a curator.
Mm. I'm really fascinated by that stuff. I think about it often. So all this stuff that we've been talking about is really to give us a picture and a snapshot of like where we are, kind of where everything's at as a culture. So what we're going to do, and we're going to take a break for a few minutes, and the way these nights will go is the first half is really dealing like, where's the culture at, just kind of where are we at, and then the latter half, we're going to talk about what does God think of that, what does the Bible actually say about that, and how does Holy Scripture actually shape us in how we navigate in this world. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, but I want to leave you with a quick question that I want you guys to think about and talk about. How many times do you think you check your phone every day? So I have the national statistic for all adults in America, and I'll tell it when I start my talk, but how many times do you think you check your phone, and do you think it's healthy?